want to be successful? Do you want to grow your business? Do you want to dominate the day? Then you're going to need Big Skip Energy. Kevin, welcome to the Big Skip Energy Podcast. How are we doing today, man?
I'm doing very well, Skip. Caleb, thank you both for having me on. Just, it's such a pleasure to... I got to meet Kayla recently, and her and I have been talking in the background about hopping on the pod, and so here we are. So I just can't thank you enough for your hospitality. So,
dude, I love it. I love it. Yeah, I know. I'm so glad that she introduced us and could get you on here. Looking forward to talking about all things sales today. So for the listeners that aren't familiar with you, even though, okay, let me back up first before I let you introduce yourself. It seems like everybody and their mother knows you. And so Kayla said, you know what? It seems like everybody knows him. At the conference where y'all met, people were coming up to you left and right. I go on LinkedIn. I'm like, how the hell do I have this many mutual connections? And I don't know this guy. So here we are. The circle is complete. The 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon is now done. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
No, it's great. Kevin Ducey, I'm the Vice President of Business Development for Comma Insurance. I've been attached ancillary to the mortgage world for over 5 years now. And I think that's really what led to it, right? I spent the first 2.5 years attached to the mortgage industry as the president of Whiteboard CRM that was eventually acquired. So when you're working in that context, in that capacity, every single person who writes a loan could be your customer. Yeah. And one of the things that we did with our go-to-market and growth strategies was really get out there and go to as many conferences as possible, join as many coaching groups as possible, shake as many hands, kiss as many babies as possible. And so that's where I started to meet a ton of people in this industry. And when Whiteboard was acquired, there was an opportunity to come over here to Comma. And Comma really focuses on really heavy hitters and large producing loan officers. And so that kind of mix just happened that we were in Vegas a couple of weeks ago at Momentum Builder. And yeah, I probably knew like over half the room. And I love it. I love people. It also works for me. I love what loan officers do. Yeah. And like you don't give people money. You provide them the opportunity to own a home, right? And that's
on the bottom rung of things that LOs
right.
do.
Right. You provide people the opportunity to own a home. You're the conduit to the American dream. I think sometimes, especially in the past 2 years, like we had to like come back to that core. Like we are the conduit to the American
dream. Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
That's a wonderful thing.
It's like, let's go back to that.
It should be the purpose of everything that you do. I'm the conduit to the American dream. It's not about what it is. It's about what it does.
Yeah, Kayla, homeownership is the pathway to what?
Generational wealth.
100%.
Are we perfecting?
Yeah. That's exactly. But see, that's like one of Kayla's like main like selling points is that because it's true. And so I think it's looking beyond the transaction, which is really important to sales. So let me back up a little bit and do me a favor. Just explain Comma and what it is, just in a nutshell for me.
Absolutely. So we were built by loan officers. We are built for loan officers. The idea was, as a loan officer, the mortgage industry can provide you a great deal of wealth, but that wealth is a roller coaster and it doesn't provide three critical functions. Number one, it doesn't provide you with any residual passive based income, right? You either close a loan today or you're not getting paid. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect is there's no wealth generating asset. You don't own anything unless you own your brokerage, which I know a few folks out there do, but that's a very select few. And then your access to your past funded database is extremely limited. You think about the challenges that loan officers have dealt with in the past 2 years about reaching out to their past funded database. Like, hey guys, can't do anything for you on a mortgage rate standpoint, plant some flowers, right? That's so it's spring. So what was started is that it was built, like I said, initially it was in Oklahoma City. It was stood up about 10 years ago. They had their own insurance agency and it was doing really well. And Brian Bomar's friends in the industry said, hey, dude, you got to scale this. You got to take it to market. You got to provide us with the opportunity to do what you've done without having to go through the heartache and the headache that you went through for the first 3 years. And so we manage every aspect of that insurance agency for the owners of the agency. It's theirs. They own it completely. They're basically signing a 10-year contract for us to manage that business for them. All they have to do is be hyper-vigilant about how they refer their clients, and they can see some really massive returns in a 10-year window.
I had coffee this morning with the realtor and he's like, man, I almost want to get into something else because it's like January hits and the clock starts over, the grind begins. And it's like, you're only as good as your last transaction. And for those of us, I think the three of us are like this, we're driven, the sky's the limit. and it can be taxing. We saw Ryan Grant talk about mental health at Momentum Builder, and it's like, it is taxing and it's a grind. And if you want to keep up with what you did last year, I don't know about you guys, but I compare myself to what I did last year. And it's like, it starts over. If I don't do a loan, I don't get paid. And so I love kind of that mentality, Kevin, that you have of like, how can you make this work to create wealth for you that you're not having to hit that grind, like reset every January?
Yeah. And furthermore, you think about your clientele, and like, it's not everybody, but you're walking them through the biggest financial transaction they've ever made, right? 9 out of 10 clients. Why do they go with the insurance agent that you suggest? Because you suggested it. Because you have a inherent trust built with that person already. Like, you are the financial expert. If you are positioning yourself as that mortgage advisor, that financial expert, and you talk to them about where they should go for insurance, they're going to listen to you. And that's why the idea was set up. The one challenge with it is like, Kayla, you just highlighted, there's no such thing as a patient loan officer. Not in 2024. Those folks got weeded out in the past 2 years. They're gone. You're right. But so you have to have patience when you own an insurance agency, because it is a get rich slow. Like, there's going to be 2 years of grinding, but it really should be mapping out the way that you look at your future, the way you look at 2034, the way you look at 2039, and the ability to walk away from this business. Because if you're not producing some other forms of ancillary revenue, some side hustle, some side business, like, I'm sorry, but you're going to go from, let's say you're making $750,000 a year as a top producer. How are you going to retire? Like, are you just going to throw that money off into the sunset? Or are you going to work till your brain bleeds and you die of a heart attack in your office? Like, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something more.
I love what you just said, because let's take a step back and just talk about the grind for a minute. I work with several of my coaching clients on essentially trying to get away from the grind, right? It's been glorified over the decades. Let's be honest. It sucks. And everyone does it to get away from it. So the service that you're providing really helps alleviate some of that. There's an end in sight, right? But what are you seeing as far as ways that you are helping others get out of that grind, aside from obviously the service that you provide?
Oh, man, so that's a tough question. I think it's providing the hope for it right now. Skip, we're 4 years old. We're literally 4 years ago today. This month, we launched our first ever agency as its own entity. And those agents, I mean, those loan officers, excuse me, they did a cash out refi on their insurance business last year. They pulled out $350,000 in cash and distributed it amongst the owners. That was pretty freaking awesome. That I don't know that alleviated the grind, but it made their 2023 a whole lot better than it was going to look like.
Psychologically, it sure helped, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it also, when they did the cash out refi on that opportunity, it also decreased the value of the overall agency. So it allowed for some of their junior LOs or people within the organization to potentially buy in, as opposed to an agency that was 6X of what it was 5 minutes ago when they did the cash out refi. And I think it's just providing, like, we provide the overall hope that, like, we every month the agency owners get to look at this thing and they get to look and say, hey, listen, it's value. Really, what happens here is everybody gets excited about the potential for passive income stream that's coming in, right? That's that you think about that quarterly check and you get excited. But really what that is, that's rent over mortgage for people who own real estate know this. That's not the sexy part. That's not the compelling part. It's that cash. It's that value of that property as you watch it increase over time. Because that rent over mortgage is going to go right out the window the first time there's a plumbing problem, there's an electric problem, I need a roof. Like, that's peanuts. It's that asset that you bought it for $100,000, you sell for $300,000 is really the big end game goal. And that's what this thing does. You buy it for this thing at $110,000, you should be selling it for seven figures plus in 10 years. And so that's where we're kind of providing a little bit of that hope. I don't know that there's any way to get people out of the grind right now, especially in the last 2 years. If you are in the grind, like, you die.
Oh yeah, you're totally out. And I was going to say, I guess I was asking more because I know you do, you know, a fair amount of sales coaching and training too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you had a customer come to you and say, hey, look, Kevin, man, I'm tired of this. What advice can you give me to try and get out of it? Still provide the service to my clients, still be in my job, but let's look at this from a burnout perspective. Yeah. What are some ways that you would advise your coaching clients to avoid that burnout?
One of the things I think, and specifically in the mortgage space, I would consistently go back to what we talked about earlier, is that you are the conduit to the American dream, right? Hey, listen, I can go look at houses all day long on Zillow, on Redfin. I can drive in the neighborhoods I want to live in. Like, frankly, I don't, like, no offense to realtors, I don't need them to show me what a good looking house looks like or see some pictures of it. I got access to it. How do I get that money? That's a different thing, right? That's a more complicated issue. That's complex. That's diving into where I want to take my family and where I want to go. And frankly, Skip, I think some of the burnout that's happened in this industry is a post-COVID related issue, right?
Yeah.
Loan officers used to meet with their clients. They used to sit down. They used to have the I watched families come in at the Cornerstone Home Offices in Oklahoma City when I started out there in 2019. I watched these families bring their kids in. I watched them sit down with loan officers. I think that means something, what you're providing for that family. It goes, you got to get back to the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the stuff that's going on right now in the mortgage world, the coaching in the mortgage world, is a little bit bifurcated, and it shouldn't, right? Boomers have all the money. Gen X is probably second. So they've got the availability and resources. But all you hear about all is everybody wants to embrace AI and technology. Well, you're missing those folks. Like, my dad wants a phone call. Like, boomers want a phone call. They want to talk.
Over and over. Even the younger generation, as much as they rely on technology, still want that personal touch.
Right. And so I think you got to do a little bit of both. I talked to a loan officer recently, did like 65 transactions last year and never spoke to a single client.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I don't know how that works for me.
It's tough for me is the LO.
Right.
Yeah. You're not at this point in the way we're at right now is realtors and clients do not need a 2020 and 2021 loan officer where you're just needed to close the loan, get the rate, get the deal next. Yeah. Next.
I'd be interested to see how that LO does from a referral standpoint.
I think a lot of people fell off is that you were used to just being behind your screen. And now that you have to have empathy and educate and empower people, those lenders don't know how to do that anymore. And so I think it was Kristen Messerly shared a stat. I think it was just sent out was 64%, I think it was, of individuals don't trust a lender.
Yeah.
And that is telling. And I think when you look at that 2020-21 loan officer, put them in today, they don't know how to have a conversation and to relate. And as you said, Kevin, get back to that purpose of why are we doing this? Why are we in this position? And it's to get people into a home where memories are made and they're creating this space for a safe home for their family. And I think a lot of people have gotten away from that.
Kayla, I want to expand on your point. Is like you talked about Kristen Messerly and what she's doing, First Home IQ. Like I want to plug it because I totally believe what she and Dave are doing, Dave Savage, is that they're putting boots on the ground to educate high school, middle school, early college, like about the benefits of owning a home, because there's been a lot of slander out there from some of the so-called experts that a mortgage, you don't need a mortgage, you don't need to own a home, which is just nonsense. It's the biggest key driver to generational wealth. Generational socioeconomic problems far exceed any racial problems we have in America, even though we do have racial problems. I'm not going to cover that up, but you look at it, where are the crime rates the highest? Where the home ownership's the least, right? Crime rate, all these things that change when you own a home are so vital to that. And I love what Kristen and Dave Savage are doing. So I would encourage anybody that's listening to this, go look it up, First Home IQ, figure out a way that you can get involved. Like if you believe this, if you believe you're the conduit to the American dream, like, and this is your purpose of putting families in homes, then go do that. I'll tell you this. That was the first thing, like when I got into this business and I had no freaking clue what mortgage was. I really didn't. I thought I went to a bank. I went to a bank for my two mortgages. I just thought that's what you did. But we started interviewing the top producing loan officers that used Whiteboard CRM. And so I just did it wasn't even a full-fledged podcast, but we called them producer spotlights, top producer spotlights. And to a person, I noticed this, like the first 10 I did, 9 out of the 10 people talked about, I'm like, well, how many units did you do last year? What was your production? I never heard somebody say, I did 75 million or 138 loans. They all said, we put 138 families in homes last year. And I was like,
big difference in the month, man.
Right. This is why you're a top producer. Because frankly, the last 2 years of surviving and not realizing the difference that you make and the importance that you are in people's lives. Like, man, I'm sorry. It's just, I can't fathom it, man. Yeah. You've got to come back to your purpose and your why of what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, and what you're doing makes a difference, and what you're doing is very important.
I love that. And I think that First Home IQ is, they're really putting boots on the ground with that. Skip, you and I have talked about it. You know, it's like, there's so much noise around why you shouldn't buy a home. And I'll put things out on social media and the trolls that come out that are like, this is crap. You shouldn't buy a house. Like, don't listen to this person. And I'm like, let's run the number. Let's just.
Well, it's that whole Grant Cardone way of thinking.
I was just going to say Grant Cardone.
Yeah, and come on, what a joke. But let's be honest. It still is. It always has been. And it probably always will be the way to set yourself up for generational wealth, foundation for your family, the whole nine yards. And so, yeah, it's more important now than ever. I think you're absolutely right to kind of keep your eye on the prize and remember your why. I know that phrase gets beat up a lot, or not beat up, but it gets repeated a lot. But it really is more true now than ever, especially coming off of one of the most difficult years in the mortgage business. But I want to shift gears real quick. First of all, Kevin, so question for you. Are you still a licensed insurance salesman?
I've never been licensed in insurance in my life, and I've never been licensed to write a mortgage in my life. So, but I know more about the mortgage world than I do insurance. I'll stand by that.
Mortgage world than probably most mortgage lenders.
I was going to say, because you are neck deep in it, buddy.
Well, can I share a funny story about that?
Yeah, please.
I'm with my buddy. Yeah, we're in Texas. We're at a Next Level Loan Officers coaching event. And he's got a new webpage, landing page, and it's beautiful. It's one of those, like, the long streaming one where you don't have to, it's the continuous. And he starts, like, in the second paragraph or the second bullet point, he starts talking about processing and underwriting. And I looked at all his stuff. I was like, can you mind if I give you some feedback on your webpage here? No, please do. I'm like, well, who are you trying to track on your webpage? He's like, obviously buyers and referral partners. I'm like, where would you put me as a person who's never originated a loan from a knowledge standpoint in the mortgage business? He's like, man, you'd be in the top half of 1%. Like, nobody would know more. I have no idea what processing and underwriting do, dude. Like, I don't get it. Like, we are putting it out there to a world that doesn't give a crap about it. Like, just like your clients don't care about processing and underwriting. Give me the right rate. Give me in the home. Be a financial advisor for me. Show me how this is going to make me money in the long run.
Funny
to me.
Isn't it interesting, though, how people assume what they need to put out there instead of, like, really thinking about and putting themselves in the other person's shoes, right? It goes back to Caleb bringing up empathy a minute ago. That's all part of it.
And to his credit, he changed it immediately. And this guy is a growth-minded loan officer. He's killing it down in Orlando. Love Nathan. Awesome dude. So. Mm-hmm.
But it's telling, because I think if you go back and think about, do you need a college degree? Do you need all this training? Do you need to be the best insurance agent, loan officer? No, but you want to know what you need is you need to have, like, emotional intelligence. You need to have empathy. You need to care, and you need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to sit down and be an active listener and ask questions. And so you don't need to have all this training and be slinging all these loans or insurance clients to actually understand the business. Yeah, you can still understand it.
It's just like mortgages, not rocket science. Now, yeah, it takes some problem solving for both and some analytical skills. That's all fine and good. When it gets right down to it, why is it so hard? It's so hard because people have to connect with each other, and making that true, deep connection is what's really difficult.
Yeah, it's a challenging aspect in that we know so many Americans have had mortgages or will have mortgages. Every American pretty much has insurance. And Americans are just as ignorant about insurance as they are mortgage when they walk into it. And please understand this, for people listening out there, ignorant means lacking of knowledge. It's not an insult. I'm ignorant about a lot of things in life. So it's not an insult, but they lack knowledge on what's really going on. Americans are really, like, it's surprisingly how uneducated we are on insurance. Mm-hmm. We walked a client through something recently this week. She was paying $11,000 a year on her homeowner's insurance here in Oklahoma. And our agent was able to get her down to $3,900 a year. And the reason for her paying $11,000 is she's like 75 years old. And she just kept eating the increases, just pushing rate. And that's just what there's a level of the population that does that. And so I think that's what, from our insurance agent standpoint, and just should be your insurance agents that you're referring business to, is they've got to have just what Kayla said, the caring and the empathy to want to help people. Like, nobody actually sells insurance, if you really think about it. Very little opportunities to sell insurance. You need insurance, and you're required by law. So the insurance salespeople should just be the conduits. And how do you become conduits to something that somebody needs? Is you build a relationship of trust. And
that's, to know them.
Right. Absolutely. Get to know what's important to them and walk them through all of it. Because there are levels of complexity to it that can make it challenging.
To your point, isn't it funny? And Kayla, you know, you live this every single day. Isn't it funny, though, however, or whenever you're taking an application, and Kevin, to your point about the ignorance of or pertaining to insurance, you get down to the asset section, and there's always life insurance listed on there, right? How many of your borrowers are like, well, yeah, I've got life insurance. You can put that. I can put my $500,000 policy down, right? No, so then you start asking about, most people don't even get the difference between whole life, okay, term, that just basic stuff there, right? And so, but you know what that does, though? That opens up the door for the insurance, for the mortgage officer to help educate and really steer them in the right direction. It's a great opportunity there.
Yep. And the only way you can do that is to care. To care about the human being that's sitting across the table. Hopefully they're sitting across the table from you at some point.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Well, and you educate to empower so that they can make the decision on their own. I tell my client, told her today on our discovery call, I want you to feel educated to make the decision because you understand it, not because Kayla told you should lock this rate or do this program.
You never listen to Kayla.
You're going to understand it to make the decision. So I feel like that about insurance too, but Skip, spot on. This is an opportunity then for everyone that is selling insurance, anyone that's in mortgage, whatever industry you're in, you have an opportunity now to take the time to educate, break it down to a level they understand and care about people. I feel like I'm just like angry or passionate, but like this is an opportunity for sure. Yeah.
We should be angry and we should be passionate about it, or else we need to go find another job, go do something else. Like I think about the things I would be passionate about doing was being pitching for the Chicago Cubs, but I realized a long time ago that was never going to happen. So like, let's go do something else where I can help people.
Hey, listen,
if you wait tables, you should be passionate about bringing people food because that brings joy to their life. If you play music, you should be excited to play music because it makes people happy. If you make film, like this is, there are ways that you can figure and find enjoyment in what you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to peel back the onion layers a little bit deeper than most folks.
So it's funny. You know what? Anything worth doing is worth doing well, right? And 100%. So there we go.
I'll tell you this. Like, I struggled with that, Skip. I'll be honest with you. When I first moved into this comma role, right? But then I want to thank Rene Rodriguez. I went through Amplify with him, and this kind of extracted it from me. So when I was 10 years old, my father was arrested. When I was 13 years old, my brother went to prison. So dad arrested, brother prison. And my wife has a PhD in physiology from the University of Illinois. She stood up two companies of her own. I've had a fairly successful career. And she's always looked at me and said, well, why or how did this happen? It came from my mom and dad divorced when I was 2. Like, I was raised by a dad, abusive stepmom. Like, my wife's like, how are you okay? Why are you okay? And what I realized then, as I did some soul searching, specifically between the ages of 9 and 13, which Renee calls the transformative years, is I had men specifically that put their, and one of them I'll talk about directly, Steve Beckett, was a very prominent attorney in my hometown, still is a very prominent attorney in my hometown, is my godfather, my dad's best friend, put his arm around and took me to do things with him and his family. I got to go to, when Deion Thomas broke the University of Illinois scoring record, I got to go to the after party for a kid who's 15 years old to be around University of Illinois basketball players, who's a huge sports fan. That's huge. And what I realized when I came over to comma is that affluent people will do good things for their community. Like, people with more money in their hands can make a bigger difference in their community. And yes, I do understand that 1 out of every 10 is going to be a Scrooge or miser, a jerk, whatever. I'm fine with hitting 90%. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, I shoot 90% from the free throw line, I'm winning. I'm completely okay with that. And that's my purpose, because I believe that I'm going to help loan officers make more money, recoup the money that they deserve because the client's going to the insurance agent based on their referral, that they'll make a bigger difference in their community. They'll give money to First Home IQ, which will help educate some kid in the inner city that they should own a home, and eventually they'll own a home. Like, that's the stuff. That's where I'm getting my drive, my purpose, my what from.
Love that.
I love it. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like coaching, right? My sales coaching and training, I don't do it for the 95% of people that are going to listen and not take it and do anything with it. I do it for the small percentage that really takes something and it does help change it. Same thing, man. I love it. That's a great way to bring it to an end, man. I can't tell them that. So, all right, man. Before we call it a day, is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners today?
And I just go back to it. Just remember why you do what you do. Remember that the people that you're helping are really important, especially like you never know until you get in it. Like this could be the first time somebody in that family's ever owned a home. And you're the conduit to make that happen. To treat that with some TLC, man. Like that's important. And get back talking to your clients. Like get back. I got a loan officer who owns an agency down in Georgia. He did almost 400 transactions last year. I'm like, how are you so good at referring all your clients to your comma insurance agent? He's like, I just talked to him. So what do you mean? Like, I just talked to him, man. I'm like, what do you mean you just talked to him? He's like, I talked to everyone but three clients last year and I refer them all to insurance. Like if a guy wrote 300 and some odd loans last year and talked to every single one of his clients, you can go talk to your clients.
Agree completely, man.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed it. Man, I'll tell you what, we're going to have you back on again because during your talk, I thought about three other things that we need to cover. So,
Now the expectations are raised. I don't know if I can handle that, Skip.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.